things moved so fast. Like, it literally was have a design in a day, develop in a day, have a design in a day, develop in 3 days. How long is this going to take? Now we move on. And that speed was completely because we were outcome oriented culture.
Hello, everyone. I'm Stephen Wellman, Vice President of Content Strategy here with Hims and the Media Group. And I'm here today with Jenna Date and Adam Paulisic with Allscripts. Jenna, Adam, why don't you tell our audience today a little bit about yourselves, your role, and what you're currently working on?
Thanks so much for having us, Stephen. And thanks so much to Hims community for allowing us to speak today. We're really excited to be here. I'm Chief Experience Officer for HHS at Allscripts, and we're working really hard on defining new product and new experiences for the people that use our products.
I'm Adam Paulisic. I am a recovering strategy consultant working hand-in-hand with Allscripts today. And outside of Allscripts, I'm a professor at a Pittsburgh-based university called Carnegie Mellon, where I teach executive education in the School of Computer Science, sales and marketing in the business school, and actually teach innovation and service design at the Human-Computer Interaction Institute. Really excited to share some of our journey. Jenna, back to you.
Thanks so much, Adam. So what we're talking about today is how simple is really hard, especially when you're creating new product in the healthcare industry. We have a really complicated system here. And as a lot of companies are starting to realize, it's more complicated than we understand. So to set the stage, Adam and I worked on a project last year where we took two teams of designers and developers who had never met one another before. And we were there to create a proof of concept that was basically technically feasible, good for business, and also desired by the people who use it. So, you know, we really infused this light heart into our work, and we'd like to talk about that today. And we did this in 8 weeks. So really short time frame, really high stakes, and really an awful lot of fun. We consider it a huge feat, and we're excited to share it.
And so, Jenna, should I talk about our now five dimensions? I think they started as three dimensions of complexity that make simplicity so hard.
I would love that. Thanks. Yeah.
Of course. So one of the fun things, Stephen, is Jen and I battled when we started with why is healthcare such a complicated initiative? Well, it turns out that in most traditional products and services or digital experiences, you have a handful of dimensions to battle with. However, in healthcare, we've laid out five unique factors that are amplified and bring complexity to our design. The first is the users and just the variety of users. Physicians, clinicians, techs, operations, financial staff, all managing an ever-changing landscape. The second dimension is the broader systems they play in. What once was defined potentially by states or country have now been blurred. So we're finding that regulators and compliance, security officials, not to mention the idea of government and, of course, payers playing a uniquely complex role. And then, Jenna, you brought up this third dimension around just the life-saving, life-critical nature of design that maybe you and I haven't experienced when we were designing other forms of web apps. Did you want to share a little bit about the third dimension?
Yeah, so the psychology of preservation of life is a really big deal. We see this a lot when we're designing for the military as well. How do you keep people out of harm's way? And as technologists, we rarely get a chance to think of ourselves as lifesavers. But in this dimension, it adds a whole nother stressor that we really didn't plan on.
So now we've got lots of people that are users and systems that are changing and morphing and the overwhelming and looming pressure of preservation of life, which brings us to our fourth dimension. Our fourth dimension is the fact that we have designers and developers and architects and storytellers and marketing folks that are all in the mix thinking about everything from the most earliest spark to sort of the most final go-to-market moment. And then Jenna brought up another important piece that I didn't fully appreciate until we were through, which is the reality of a buyer versus a user and recognizing that the administration is certainly willing to be out there and represent thoughtfully the physicians and clinicians and their entire ecosystem of users might have midterm and long-term ambitions or goals or objectives that only amplify the critical care that you want to see patients experience in every event, and physicians and clinicians benefit from. But the messaging sometimes can be quite different in the demos. So perhaps, Jenna, maybe we should jump into how the experience got built and where we started.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we started talking about this work together, we were both consultants, actually. We were coming in from two totally different angles and working with Allscripts' internal senior leadership to make something really exciting for HIMSS. And what happened was that we really got in way too quickly and had to find out and understand our domain extremely quickly and then bring everybody along with us and communicate clearly. And what we realized was Allscripts was fully prepared to be able to take our work forward and turn it into a product, which is now something that we're moving on in the mobile space. So really exciting. And the first step of any project that Adam and I noticed was to sit down and take a breath. That was something that we don't know if we did. Maybe it's more of a learning than it is anything else. But we needed to be able to get to know one another. And we really started that project as a team of people that had never met, as I said before, and that breath was super important to gain group respect, to grow my growth mindset, to set a culture for the project, especially when you're dealing with designers and developers and product folks that have never met.
Okay. And maybe just one point to add on about taking a deep breath, as Jenna commented, was, you know, everyone comes from somewhere else, right? So very rarely is someone sitting on the metaphorical bench or hanging out in the back, especially given the timing of a year and a half ago, when we were all transitioning into new ways of thinking about delivering and shaping healthcare. And so asking an engineer to go from building services and software in one side of the business and then immediately relocating and then meeting someone else who's also in a totally different context really just doubles down on Jenna's points around everyone needs to stop and reframe and get organized. Now, Jenna, you know, step number two, you know, spoken like a good researcher, is probably go deep and go long. So maybe you want to double down and sort of share how we got our hands dirty.
Sure. What we did first was, once we got everybody solid in the culture, we started with a design-led process. So what this means is that we start with research, and research is my first love. We are visiting with real users. We went into hospitals with partners within Allscripts and met with doctors, walked around, spent a lot of time with them, understood what their pains and their joys were. And what we're doing is looking for intrinsic needs. These are things that people actually don't talk about. These are things that they just do automatically or think or feel or create some kind of experience for themselves. And what we really do there is harness the scope that's going to go forward into the rest of the project. Adam, what did you do on the engineering side?
It's a great question, Jenna. So we functioned like good functioning introverts. And so we had less conversations in the hospitalist and sort of acute ambulatory settings, and instead have conversations with my favorite partners, which were APIs or different types of services. So we were doing our own type of design thinking and going out and asking questions around databases and services and said, hey, if I ask you a question like, is this lab result ready? That service would respond back to me. And then we actually mapped those conversations very similar to the way you were mapping physician conversations to make sure that when I asked a certain type of question, I got a certain type of response. And then, like a good researcher, maybe as my second love behind engineering, I said, okay, well, what if I ask the question differently, or I only ask it for a certain period of time, or I ask it all the time, every day, every few seconds, just to see if there are new vitals. And we map that as well. And the reason we did that is because not only were we designing for those intrinsic motivations of the system actors, but we were trying to figure out flexibility and scale and adaptability, because we wanted to then take those results, as you know, and hand them back to the human research side of the business, so that the questions could not only be richer based on the assets we could build from to deliver quickly, but they actually could challenge the human user to ask about possibilities that maybe we didn't know until we interrogated and talk to our conversational counterparts. But of course, then we got a bunch of data and we had to do something with it. So then, Jenna, this is your superpower.
Well, you know, I really love what you're saying here, Adam. And the thing that I really would love to build upon is this communication that happened between the design team and the development team. because we're back and forth all the time. I feel like with every project that I step into working with you, I feel like I learn so much more about the technology and what it's capable of doing. And then how do we map that user experience onto something cool and vice versa? Like, oh, well, what services do we need to be able to make this other cool thing happen? We saw this in a product, you know, out in the world. How do we make that go? So super exciting. Okay, we have data. Second step or third step, I guess we're at, synthesize and share. So synthesizing all of that research is not easy. You know, think about it. We were in two different hospitals over a period of 2 to 3 days each. We had 24 hours a day experiences and all those notes. What do? We basically synthesize, which is taking affinity diagrammings, and we can talk about that at another time, and bubble up and allow all those findings to bubble up into these key findings. Those key findings are basically acting as our North Star to create everything and any tool that we need from the development and design side, and create those findings for Allscripts, the company, to lean on as a go-forward strategy. So not only are those findings strategic and leading the design, but they're also an incredible communication tool to help people understand what we found. What did you guys do on the engineering side?
Well, sort of, again, as the pattern goes, much the same, but slightly different. So, you know, the three kind of big tenets of an architecture is sort of stability, security, and scale. And so while Jenna and team were going out and making sure the right experiences were not only really delightful, but had incredibly rich utility, we were making sure that everyone knew about this groundbreaking partnership with Microsoft, the ability to bring the equivalent of thousands of security professionals to bear about all the new challenges that are happening, you know, in both kind of rural and city settings. And then, of course, think deeply around this idea of infrastructure as a service, or being able to scale infinitely as boundaries were broken or shrunk to give very personalized care. And that was really exciting, because while we were taking those meetings, we were also getting input from Jenna and team around where was the mindset and the headspace of physicians and clinicians, and how did we use that, as Jenna already mentioned, as a North Star to make sure that we were not superseding how care actually needs to be delivered, with ultimately being the most infinitely sort of secure and stable space. And so that tension created the biggest moments of delight without compromising any of our ability to deliver that in a very privacy-centric way.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I also am hearing you say, Adam, is that this concept of a design-led project adds so much more onto the engineer to have that back and forth with design, to be able to understand that human experience. Design and development act as strategic partners. It's not like design creates something, product says this is how it's going to be made, and then they throw it over the engineering wall, and then they code, and then something comes out at the end. It's not that way at all. It's literally like this constant back and forth. What did you hear? Well, I don't know. What did you discover? How are we going to make those two mesh? And that's the exciting part and the co-create part that I think what allows the agile development process really brings to the design process as well.
Well, you reminded me of two stories that I know you and I locked arms about. And one was how we onboarded our engineering and our technical capability on the team. And the first thing that Jenna and I did, you know, is borrowed the narrative and the story of the ideal or the aspirational state that was channeled out of these moments of delight articulated by physicians and clinicians all throughout the US. And then we asked the engineers within just a couple of days to begin to build muscle memory about telling that story, right? What that did was hone that empathetic view into the why we are doing everything, so that we could get to the how we might approach it, so that the what we were going to use made an awful lot of sense. And so training engineers before they looked at the syntax of the code, or they pulled libraries in, or partition different devices about how they're going to tell a story, and asking them to do that in a public domain, even internal in our Allscripts audience, was a really, really big start. I think the second point, and Jenna is really good at doing this, is helping to diffuse the insecurity that sometimes we see, or the perfectionist we sometimes see in an engineering mindset, which is if it's not perfect, it can't be done. And the challenge with that is we don't know all the answers. We're going to learn different data. We're going to see things evolve and transform throughout the journey. And so one of the really cool things that Jenna helped us all see was, hey, we're going to ask for some requirements. You're going to build as much as you can in a sustainable way within the window we have. Let's call it a 2-week sprint. And then we're going to discuss together if we made it to the outcome that we wanted or not. But what we're not going to do is make engineers stress out a ton and try to finish something in an academic sense and then be really mad if we only use 60% of it. And what we're not going to allow designers and researchers and product leaders to do is be absolutist about exactly what it has to look like, because no one knows exactly what it's going to do until the demo. I don't know, Jenna, any reactions to my two lessons learned in particular?
No, it's really true. I think this leads into this development process that we started together, and things moved so fast. Like, it literally was have a design in a day, develop in a day, have a design in a day, develop in 3 days. How long is this going to take? Now we move on. And that speed was completely because we were outcome oriented culture. So rather than looking at effort-based, like, you know, that we're really looking for what is the highest impact and most measurable at the end of the day. And that kept us going. We were no longer thinking about effort-based measure. It wasn't like just because you do the work doesn't mean that it's done, right? It's that energy was really driven towards getting to that end at the end of each sprint. What other lessons learned did we have?
Well, the outcome-oriented sort of narrative, I think, carries through in a couple that are coming to mind for me. I mean, one was every part of one of our stories or the scope of a body of work that we were building had a dimension of how will you demonstrate the value of this work, right? How will you prove to a physician that it actually is easier to create an order, to review a lab result, to quickly check in on vitals? How could a specialist ultimately compare two rich images, you know, medical images like an X-ray, right, around someone perhaps looking at a bone fracture very quickly and completely, and then make sure the care team is informed in a dynamic way? And it was important that the story around the demonstration was owned in a synchronous way between the researcher and the engineer and the architect and the DevOps developer operations person and a variety of other folks, even down to the security expert, you know, as well, that all aligned that what time savings meant was universal and what clarity and accuracy meant were universal. I think that's an important dimension because all too often, exceptional engineering versus exceptional design versus exceptional research versus exceptional sales or marketing sometimes compete with each other. And we really checked early and often to make sure everybody would celebrate the exact same moments together.
Yeah, that's absolutely a really good point. And all at the same time that we're bringing the team along and the senior leadership at the same time, because we're constantly communicating with them, is that we were doing usability testing with real live users. And instead of calling it usability testing, we called them co-creates. And if you're listening to this, Dr. Josh, sorry to pound that on you, but we are definitely doing this co-create together each week. We learned from our physicians on the floor as we were designing, and we would bring designs to them and say, how's this look? What do you like? What don't you like? What needs to change? Does this make sense to you? And through that, we were able to create a design that was useful, usable, and technically feasible. I think the biggest thing from my lessons learned was that, oh my gosh, we need to have empathy for each other. So in design, we are constantly taught to put ourselves in the human's shoes that's using our product. We say at Carnegie Mellon, the user is not like me. Thank you, Bonnie, John. But we are also learning throughout each one of these processes that we have to have empathy for our own team too. So how do we really step into the shoes of a developer, see what they're struggling with and what they're trying to solve for, and understand that they're going to get there and trust them as well? And likewise, I know that was something that we asked of engineering an awful lot in design. And it didn't become quite so poignant as the end of the project when we were pushing for these final outcomes. Our final deadlines were coming in play. And Adam and I looked at each other and we're like, we'll like each other one day again. Having that empathy for each other really helped, helping him realize where I was coming from, and likewise as leaders.
Yeah, well said, Jenna. And I guess that day has come around since we're officially on the HIMSS podcast together. But you know, some of the sort of secret sauce moments are really around swapping name tags. And so, you know, some of the tangible kind of stuff that we did was we asked engineers to hand sketch low fidelity experiences, workflows, and storyboards, right? So the sort of deepest tech kind of data scientists, data engineers were actually sketching out flows between, you know, a physician and a nurse and a nurse and a tech and a specialist and vice versa, and really putting on a whiteboard just how complex it was to sort through all of those interviews and point of views like we talked about in our first dimension of depth for design thinking. On the other side of that, we asked visual designers, so those comfortable with user interfaces and using pixels to kind of craft delightful experiences, to actually map data payloads. So how does which API appears on what literal field on a mobile phone or a tablet? And through that kind of cross-wiring, all of a sudden designers recognize that, oh wait, there's 35 different services or APIs. And you know, as we move into this, you know, the kind of Community Cares Act and sort of where we are with FHIR and different standards of data, this is only going to get more interesting and robust, but there's going to be a transition, as there always is in these evolutions, naturally having. And on the other side, of course, the sort of most sophisticated cloud architects and engineers that were doing really innovative things said, oh, well, there is an interesting reason or need where this needs to be a three-column sort of presentation, because the physician needs to make a decision in 3 minutes or less about critical care and then continue on in their rounding experience. So those are really exciting to see everybody not only sympathize with the other person's role, but to Jenna's point, truly empathize.
Yeah. And, you know, in the end, really, the research sets the vision, right? It sets our direction and our scope. And we're constantly in a state of looping that user feedback all along the way. Design builds the structure of where we're going to head. And then engineering helps us demonstrate and empower that user voice. What's really interesting to me, too, is that this all creates an incredible groundwork for Allscripts and healthcare to move into the next horizon, which really is going to take us into Internet of Things. It's going to integrate machine learning and AI in a new way. It's really going to allow that FHIR service and regulation to come to life and feed the product as a whole. So I feel like this has been an extremely incredibly rewarding experience to work with Adam and his team and the team of designers. And I love that we've been able to bring this into the forefront at Allscripts and really make it part of the process and make it part of the product. And it really sets the stage for everyone to be successful, you know, like open minds, open hearts, work with honesty and integrity, trust, and really have a good time, because this life is too short, right, to not be grateful for all the things that we've cultivated together.
You know, and I just add there, Jenna, in addition to sort of having fun and really driving towards, you know, outcomes that do more than just create great design, but save lives and create better care and empower, you know, community hospital settings through, you know, the kind of mid-market that we cover all the way through sort of more dense research facilities, we find ourselves in this place where, you know, the future is just starting, but the next generation of people that are going to be leading these innovative experiences are going to come from design and engineering and the clinical setting. And ultimately, these teams, especially in healthcare, are going to be interdisciplinary and multidisciplinary in a way that we have not seen previously. So we not only celebrate the outcome, as we've been preaching here, Stephen, about delivering a unique digital experience, but also ways of working that become contagious and exciting in other areas of Allscripts and ultimately accelerate top to bottom care.
Great. I just want to thank our guest today, Jenna Date, Adam Polisic, but they're great, great lessons learned at Allscripts. And I want to thank you, most of all, our audience, for listening today. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.